Today on Annenberg Radio News.
My responsibility as a global citizen to use my voice and my work for something that I feel is more urgent.
The Occupy movement is out of the headlines, but one occupier is still singing about it. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, November 8th, 2012. I'm Kristen Nakashioya. Polls show that Latinos clinched President Obama's re-election victory Tuesday night. This morning, activists gathered at City Hall to use their newfound clout to demand the president immediately push immigration reform. Omar Shamoot found out what they're asking for.
President Obama has called the failure to pass immigration reform his biggest disappointment. After winning 71% of the Latino vote on Tuesday, many of those constituents won't accept further delays. California State Assemblyman Gil Cedillo said President Obama is now in a powerful position to help not only the country's documented immigrants, but its more than 11 million undocumented ones, too.
We expect that. He's been committed to that. We think the conditions now provide the opportunity for it to be realized.
But commitment might not be enough. In his first term, Obama couldn't gather enough bipartisan support to pass the Federal Dream Act, which would have created a path to citizenship for people brought to this country as children. That forced many states, including California, to pass their own version of the law. Angelica Salas of the Coalition for Humane Immigrant Rights of Los Angeles said Obama needs to go further.
The immigration question is resolved by legalizing 12 million people, by making our immigration system actually work by reuniting families instead of having them wait 30 and 40 years to be reunited with each other.
Both Salas and Cedillo said Republicans should play a part in the process too, citing common ground among the GOP and Latinos on a number of other issues.
Latinos, in many instances, are very poised to be Republicans. Entrepreneurial, small business starters, very faith-based. All the values that the Republicans espouse are the values that are the core of the immigrant Latino.
But not everyone thinks Latinos can broaden the GOP base. Ira Melman of the Federation of American Immigration Reform says economic issues prevent many Latinos from ever voting Republican.
If the party you're representing says our position is cutting taxes and making government smaller, that's not necessarily a platform that's going to appeal to voters who pay very little in taxes to begin with and are dependent on government for a lot of their basic needs.
Since it could take lawmakers time to hammer out a deal, Cedillo and Salas said the president can make an immediate statement by curbing the number of deportations carried out by his administration, a number topping 1.4 million. Omar Shamoot, Annenberg Radio News.
This afternoon, police officials joined the family of a man murdered outside his church over the weekend. Together, they asked anyone with information to come forward. Andres Ordonez was shot Sunday outside the Prince of Peace storefront church in Westlake while trying to stop a gang tagger from defacing the building. On Tuesday, the Los Angeles City Council offered a $50,000 reward for information on the murder. There's been a lot of construction in the University Park neighborhood lately, so residents of the brown brick building on 29th and Flower are no strangers to bulldozers. Today, they held a press conference to try and save their apartment from the wrecking crews. Catherine Davis has the story.
Residents of the 100-year-old apartment building at 2913 South Flower Street are sending a letter to the city today.
Dear developers, city officials, and members of the general public, this letter is meant to express one simple intention. We will not leave our community without a fight.
Many families in the 33-unit building have lived there between 15 and 35 years, but they have started to feel pressured by the growth of the neighborhood around them.
There's a lot of redevelopment of this area.
That's Thelmy Perez, an organizer with the LA Human Right to Housing Collective. Her organization helped write the letter along with other groups, LA Can and Comunidad Presente.
I mean, you have the university to the south, you have now the proposed Farmers Field development that's just north of us, you have the giant Palmer project that's up here on the corner, you have the new Icon project that's over here on the corner of Figueroa and Jefferson, and the coming of the Metro rail line.
About half of the building's residents are USC students. The low-income families in the building like having students around and being part of the university community, but worry they might be asked to leave soon. The building is managed by student rental group First Choice Housing and owned by 424 West Brown Road, LLC. First Choice Housing says it is not aware of the building being for sale. Some residents say they've been offered money to move out, though. So before any big changes happen, they have written this letter to the city and sought legal advice. Barbara Schultz is a lawyer working on the tenant's behalf.
Under the state's Ellis Act, a landlord is allowed to remove a unit from the market, but only if they're going to permanently remove the unit from the rental market. They are not allowed to displace tenants, only to either replace them with new tenants or to build a new building and replace them with new buildings.
In October, USC agreed to contribute $20 million toward affordable housing as part of their University Village expansion project. Farmers Field reached a similar settlement with the city last week for $15 million. Until those projects begin, what will happen with those contributions is unclear. It is clear that this neighborhood is changing quickly. Whether or not the rumors of the building's potential sale are true, Perez says that residents want the city to know their concerns.
What we're calling for is people-oriented development.
Residents say they don't mind changes in the neighborhood, as long as it means they don't have to go anywhere. Catherine Davis, Annenberg Radio News.
Puerto Ricans recently voted in favor of statehood in a non-binding election referendum Tuesday night. This is interrupted to be the first time the majority of the island of Puerto Ricans have favored such an initiative. Denise Guerra has more on the story.
When it comes to the statehood of Puerto Rico and their part in American elections, it can get rather confusing. I asked some students around USC's campus what they thought.
Does Puerto Rico vote in national elections?
Is
Puerto Rico a state?
No, it's a territory.
That last answer was correct. And though Puerto Rico is not an official state, some of the territory's residents want it to be. On Tuesday night, Puerto Rican citizens were asked to vote on two questions on a ballot referendum. Number one, do you favor your current status as a U.S. Commonwealth? About 54% of voters said no. Those who voted no got to answer a second question, asking which alternative they preferred: statehood, sovereign free association, or independence. On this question, 61% of voters wanted statehood. Some have interpreted this to be the first time a majority of Puerto Ricans said yes to officially joining the United States. However, this is not actually the case, according to UCLA professor of sociology, Cesar Ayala.
The way the questions were set up produced a very misleading result.
Remember that first question, asking if residents favored the Commonwealth? Well, those that said yes to keep the status quo did not answer the second question and left it blank.
The way they are producing this majority vote for statehood is by not counting the blank ballots.
So actually, only 33% of voters wanted statehood. So is a 51st state in our future? Not quite yet. For now, Puerto Rico is still an unincorporated territory of the United States. This is Denise Guerra, Annenberg Radio News.
It's going to be a cool weekend. Tonight's low will dip to 55 degrees with light showers. Friday will be partly cloudy with a high of 65, low of 47, and a 40% chance of rain. On Saturday, we'll have a high of just 64 degrees for USC's homecoming game. But the sun will peak out by Sunday with a 0% chance of rain. Later on Annenberg Radio News, Colorado and Washington legalized recreational marijuana use this week. What does that mean for California? Laura Meyer personifies almost everything about the Occupy movement. She's young, she works a part-time job, and she is fed up with the country's political climate. Reporter Molly Gray talked with her about how the movement inspired her latest album, Golden Deliciousness.
I marched last October the spirit of seeing that and being united with just thousands of people in the flesh, you know, feeling that vibration of all those bodies and all that energy, it was so much more powerful than I could have ever expected. There's a war between the ones who say there's a war. You know, your first couple of albums really featured a lot of love songs and melodies and some really pretty music. Your most recent album, however, kind of takes a political spin. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And tell me, you know, a little bit about how that came to be and, you know, where you were when you started writing those songs.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's my albums really just sort of reveal my evolution as a songwriter, but there's a time for love and there's a time when just sitting around and, you know, humming about roses is just not going to cut it. And I feel like right now it's my responsibility as a global citizen to use my voice and my work for something that I feel is more urgent.
One of the other songs that really stood out to me on the album was Jesus Sandwich. East, they wanna make money. Out west, they just wanna get high. In between, everybody wants Jesus like a big slab of cheese upon me. And I'm sure that came from touring across the country and seeing people all over, but can you describe that a little bit?
That one came really quickly. I was actually cooking. Well, I wrote that one, and I wrote it to make myself laugh, but then when I finished it, I was like, wow, I'm probably most proud of that song than any song, because I feel like I really did sum up my feelings of America, and, you know, I'm sure it's offensive to many, and, you know, that's not my intention, but, I spend a lot of time listening to Bible radio. My use of Jesus in that song is not anybody's God, but just sort of this caricature we've created. it's just unfortunate, again, what we use to justify judgment and violence and all sorts of legislation.
Right. What role do you feel music plays in educating people in the politics of our country, and what sort of impact do you feel that type of music can have?
Well, I think music's main function is to inspire. I don't know how much a song can change, but then, you know, then there's Blowing in the Wind, and or American Girl, you know, for that matter. Just, I think a great song has power just to make people want to live, and make people, and if you want to live and if you're happy and you feel good and you feel connected to other people, you're going to act and live differently than if you're not, if you're upset, if you're alone in your room in the quiet. Music has saved my life.
Well, I wish you luck in all of your future endeavors, and I really appreciate you talking to me today.
So much for having me.
That was Molly Gray speaking with musician Laura Meyer. The basement studio we're broadcasting from will soon be part of the old Annenberg building. We're moving from a cubicle-walled radio newsroom with 10 computers into a wide-open space, which we'll share with our TV and internet counterparts. Rumor has it we will even get cell phone reception. Here's Annenberg School of Communication and Journalism Dean Ernest Wilson.
The state-of-the-art 20,000-square-foot newsroom that we will build, that will be the heart of this new building, and it's designed to tear down the media silos, the old media silos of print and broadcasting and web, so it presents a converged newsroom.
This building is part of USC's $6 billion fundraising campaign, launched when University President C.L. Max Nikias took office in 2010. So far, the university has raised $2.2 billion of those dollars. It's slated to open in the fall of 2014. Less than 48 hours after its passage, a federal judge has blocked part of Prop 35. The measure toughened penalties on convicted human traffickers. One provision required registered sex offenders to give authorities a list of their internet addresses. Today's ruling says that requirement limits the right of free speech. A full hearing will take place on November 20th. During Tuesday's election, citizens in Colorado and Washington voted to fully legalize marijuana for recreational use. This afternoon, I spoke with Dr. Mark Kleiman, professor of public policy at UCLA. Dr. Kleiman, can you explain the big news surrounding marijuana laws?
Washington State and Colorado both passed full-on legalization, not for medical use, for any use, and legalization not just of possession, but of commercial production and sale. So each of them intends to set up an alcohol-style regulated industry. Now, that's complicated by the fact that it's all illegal under federal law. Colorado has a complexity, which is that it will be legal a month from now for any resident of Colorado to grow marijuana and give it away. That doesn't wait on a regulatory system. And that may be the most important practical result of last night.
And how about Washington?
Well, Washington has the full alcohol, you know, taxed and regulated market with licenses for producers, processors, and retailers, but no permission for private growing. And the federal government, if it wants to, and it may very well want to, can shut down the regulated industry.
When you say that it's legalized for commercial use and there's going to be stores, are there literally going to be pot stores just as there is liquor stores on the side of the street?
That's what Colorado and Washington plan. And whether the federal government lets them do it is a different question.
So how do the state governments benefit from this?
Well, they imagine that they're going to get huge tax revenues. If consumers prefer the legal product after the tax to the illegal product, that might be cheaper, right? So in Colorado, you'll be able to get marijuana from the state licensed store at whatever price is set by the combination of the market and the state tax system.
Uh-huh.
Or you can grow it in your own closet. I mean, it'll be legal to grow it and to give it away an ounce at a time. How easy is it going to be to tell whether somebody's giving it away or selling it? As one of my friends said, tell you what, if you'll buy this Ziploc baggie from me for $20, the green stuff I'll throw in for free.
That's definitely an interesting take on it, for sure. So it's, just to clarify, it's legal to give it away, but illegal to sell to anyone.
Right. In order to sell it, you need a license.
So do you take a particular side on this issue?
I would like to see grown-ups who want to smoke pot able to get it legally. I would not like to see an unscrupulous industry like the beer industry or the tobacco industry trying to produce as many teenage potheads as possible. Legalization does both of those things, so I'm not all that cheerful about the second of them. I think I would prefer to see a non-commercial distribution system.
Thank you so much, Dr. Kleiman. That was extremely
helpful. Good to talk to you.
That was Dr. Kleiman at UCLA. In the 2010 election, California voters had the opportunity to legalize marijuana, but that proposal, Prop 19, was outvoted by 3.5%. This year, all of the California pot initiatives went up in smoke before they could get on the 2012 ballot. Now we check in with Bronte Lawson to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. Bronte?
Thanks, Kristen. Tonight on ATVN, we'll have extensive coverage on the groundbreaking for the new Annenberg building. We'll tell you how the director of journalism, Geneva Overholser, thinks it will change the school.
That's it for this Thursday. For all of us at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Kristen Nakashioya. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.